Whew. Friday, 5 p.m. We've worked our way through another week. It's time to sit back and enjoy yourself a little bit. Double happy hour, as we like to call
it.
Time for American Hit Radio at
90.3. Honk your horn.
WHBC. That's my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, in the background, and that's me up front, Tom Ryan. We'll be with you for the next hour. Thanks for tuning in. If you're tuning in to know, you probably already know what we're up to, but we, on Fridays, we call the show How Music Changed because we work our way through a whole list of topics where we are hoping to cover like the entire history of recorded music. I don't mean every piece of recorded music, of course. I mean focusing on the stuff that basically the songs that are responsible for basically determining what the history of music has been and what it's become. And this has been a rather amazing series that we're playing called The Great American Songbook, if I may say so myself. I mean, it's a lot that I learned when I go through a lot of this. And today's show is part 28, which has us in the latter part of the 40s. So we are getting near the end with our 28th show. And today's show is also, it's coming on the heels of the first, we did one show last week, which was unusual for the series. We dedicated the entire show to the music of Rodgers and Hammerstein, because at this point in time, they were responsible for some of the most incredibly popular Broadway hits and a tremendous number of songs that ended up becoming a part of the Great American Songbook. So we figured we'd get all of their stuff collected into one show. And now this is what was going on around the time as, say, South Pacific and The King and I, while that was happening on Broadway. Frank Lesser was a songwriter. And I said, I think I mentioned that he's the third songwriter who is now part of the solo artist thing, along with Irving Berlin and Cole Porter, as far as being able to write without having to have a partner. And he wrote this song. Some people consider this sometimes to be a Christmas song. It has nothing to do with Christmas at all. It's just because it makes a reference to cold weather. And every time somebody thinks that there's a reference to cold weather, that it's about Christmas. Well, no. In fact, right now, I gladly hear a song about cold weather because maybe it'll help us all cool down a little bit. It's called Baby It's Cold Outside, and it became controversial in the past couple of years. I know that the Me Too movement has changed a lot of our ways of thinking, and I know that it is probably responsible for thinking that this song is some sort of a subtle innuendo for sexual harassment. And I'm sorry, but I don't buy it. I mean, this song is now banned by a lot of radio stations.
So weird.
And it's what's happening is you're putting something onto it that really, I don't want to say that it isn't there, but I can definitely say that it might not be there. I don't think it's what Frank Lesser intended. I mean, when people, a boy and a girl, a man and a woman, are together and they are at the very first stages of a relationship, things like what are happening in this song are very realistic, and it has nothing to do with any sort of like taking advantage of somebody sexually or anything like that. It's showing interest and basically trying to talk somebody into staying a little bit longer. I don't think that, in fact, I think this is one of the most kind of coy, and it's actually downright cute, this song. And the way that it is performed here, with, of course, Ray Charles and Betty Carter, I think it's fantastic. So I'm not going to refrain from playing it, no matter what other radio stations do. Here is Frank Lesser's song, Baby It's Cold Outside, performed by Ray Charles and Betty Carter.
Outside. I've got to go away.
Betty, it's cold out there.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hand. They're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful.
Worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the
listen to that fireplace roar.
So really, I better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half
Why
a
don't
drink
you put more. Some records on while I pour?
And the neighbors might think,
Betty, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
To break the spell,
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks
red. I ought to say no, no.
Mind
no, sir.
If I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
Can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Ah, but it's cold outside. I simply must go.
Betty, it's cold outside.
The answer is
I say it's cold out there.
The welcome has been.
How lucky that you dropped in.
So nice and warm.
Look out that window. Let that
storm. My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves up on a tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a
oh,
cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to go home.
Better you freeze out there.
Say, lend me your comb.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I thrill when you touch my hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
There's
me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and died.
Can't stay.
Get over that old love.
Oh, but it's cold. Ah,
Well, I hope I'm not deemed politically incorrect for playing that, but I just think that that song is just so great. I just think just the way that they both play act in the lyrics are just so, that they're just genuinely funny. And I think it's just the way that a couple might go about starting a relationship. But there it is. Baby, It's Cold Outside, a Frank Lesser classic that you're not going to hear too often on the radio. Next track up is actually a bunch of songs from a film called My Dream Is Yours. It was one of the, it was a Technicolor romantic comedy, a big deal in 1949, the Technicolor, you know, Technicolor movies. All the songs from My Dream Is Yours were written by Ralph Blaine and Harry Warren. And the title song is one of the songs that is now considered to be part of the Great American Songbook. And I have the original version from the film as performed by Miss Doris Day.
The House of Beauty presents The Hour of Enchantment. Ladies and gentlemen, we regret that due to sudden illness, Gary Mitchell is unable to appear on The Hour of Enchantment this evening. In his place, we are fortunate to have that distinctive new songstress, Martha Gibson.
Thank you. My dream is yours alone. It's all I own. My dream is yours. I'm through with spending time pretending I'm a rover. And when I dream it over, I'm in clover, and everything is fine. My dream is yours. It isn't much to give, but while I live, my dream is yours. So, darling, may I say I love you till the theme of every dream begins to shine. My dream is yours. Because it's yours and mine.
There you go. That version is lifted straight from the soundtrack of the film, as you could tell. Doris Day, who was the actress in the leading role, and there she is singing the title song, My Dream Is Yours. All right, moving forward. This song's got an interesting history. Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend was popularized by Carol Channing on Broadway for the production of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes in the late 40s. And most of the successful productions of Broadway plays would almost certainly become movies a few years later. And that is exactly what happened in this case when Gentlemen Prefer Blondes was a film that was released in 1953. And this is one of the more famous roles for Marilyn Monroe, who performed the song in the film for Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Now, it's been interpreted by a number of people since then. I mean, of course, you could be sure that somebody like Eartha Kitt did a version of it. There's no doubt about that. Della Reese, Lena Horne, Joe Stafford, Carol, well, I mentioned Carol Channing. Emmy Lou Harris even did a country rock version of it. But and in that direction, that's where the version that I picked comes up, because it's from one of my favorite EPs from the 80s. Before I really knew who T-Bone Burnett was, he was on Warner Brothers Records at a time when Warner Brothers was trying to popularize some of their new acts. And rather than put out entire albums, they figured they'd save money by putting out EPs. So there was about, I think there were about four artists who they released EPs with all at the same time. And one of the bands that they did that with was Los Lobos. And another one was T-Bone Burnett. And I don't remember what the other two were, but those two EPs were amazingly intense for as far as affecting my life. It was 1983, and we barely, in America, we barely knew what an EP was. There just weren't that many of them, especially the way that America did it, because we were able to buy the long playing version of like a one song that is remixed and stretched out. Well, this was like, when I say EP, it played at 33 RPM, and it had about two songs per side, and that was it. And T-Bone Burnett's EP was called Trapdoor, and on it was this really coy, tongue-in-cheek version of Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
Kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat or help you at the automat. Men grow cold as girls grow old. We all lose our charm in the end. But square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Let's rock. There may come a time when a lass needs a lawyer. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. There may come a time when a hard-boiled employer thinks you're awful nice, but get that ice or else no dice. He's your guy, stocks are high, but beware when they start to descend. It's then that those louses go back to their spouses. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. 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 Let's rock again.
Fun.
Right? Written by Jules Stein and Leo Robin. There's T-Bone Burnett's rather unusual and very eclectic and fun version of Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. Okay, next song up in our list, again, 1949, is a song called My Foolish Heart from a film of the same name. The music was composed by Victor Young and Ned Washington. We've covered a couple of times. And the film was trashed by the critics. And in the process of trashing the film, they were not kind to the title song either. Time Magazine, this is a quote from Time Magazine's review of My Foolish Heart. The film: nothing offsets the blight of such tear-splashed excesses as the bloop, bleep, bloop of a sentimental ballad on the soundtrack.
Brutal.
Bloop, bleep, bloop. Wow. It's like, yeah, there's like really no room for wiggle room there at all. I mean, it was not popular. And yet, the song was nominated for an Academy Award that year for Best Original Song, and it lost, again, rather ironically, to Baby It's Cold Outside, how we started our show. Now, despite all of that, and despite what the critics said, the song actually did gain quite a bit of a life, and it actually ends up on the Great American Songbook because jazz artists were inclined to use the melody, and Bill Evans probably recorded one of the most popular versions of it off of his classic album, Waltz for Debbie. So here is Bill Evans' version of My Foolish Heart.
Thank you.
That's from an album of Bill Evans called Waltz for Debbie. It's quite obviously, as you can tell by the clapping, it's a live recording.
Very live.
Right. And yeah, you can even, you can
hear. Oh, you can hear the crowd sounds. Obviously, a lot of smokers in the room.
Right. A little bit of coughing. Yeah, you can even hear bar sounds, like tinkling and tinkling of things and stuff like that. But it's a beautiful recording by Bill Evans. That album is Waltz for Debbie. All right. Now we move on to another song. This time it's called From This Moment On. It's a Cole Porter song. Rather unusual in that it was written for a musical called Out of This World, but it was dropped before it even made its Broadway premiere. So a Cole Porter song getting dropped is like, whoa.
What's going on in this world?
Right. I think it had more to do with the person who was singing it than with the song itself. But unfortunately, that did leave the song out high and dry. But fear not. A few years later, the MGM released a movie called Kiss Me, Kate, which was basically filled with songs by Cole Porter. And From This Moment On was revived at that point in time. So it saved the day, so to speak. So let's play our version of From This Moment On. I've got a really cool version by one of Heidi's favorite female jazz vocalists, Sarah Vaughan.
Yay.
From this moment on, you found me dear, only two for tea. From this moment on, from this happy day, no more blue songs, only hoop-de-doo songs. From this moment on, for you've got the love I need so much, got the skin I love to touch. Got the arms to hold me tight. Got the sweet lips to kiss me goodnight. From this moment on, you and I, babe, we'll be riding high, babe. Every care is gone. From this moment on. Moment on, for you got the love I need so much. I got the skin I'd love to touch, got the arms to hold me tight, got the sweet lips to kiss me goodnight. From this moment on, you and I, babe, we'll be riding high, babe. Every care is gone.
like Sarah Vaughan hijacking a Cole Porter song. It's amazing.
Crazy.
Amazing version there. And it's funny because when you think about Cole Porter, most of his the recordings, you just don't expect it to be. That's just why they're great American songbooks. They're
it's
easily
so malleable.
Yeah, right, malleable and interpretable. It's wonderful. Now, I mentioned that was a song that was almost lost or forgotten because it never made it into the original show that it was written for. The exact same story, more or less, applies to this next track. This was written by Hoagy Carmichael with Johnny Mercer. Incredibly successful songwriters, just like Cole Porter, you know, incredibly great at what they do. And this time, the song is called It's in the Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening. And it was planned to be in a movie that was being made to feature Betty Hutton. It was going to be called The Mack Sennett Girl, but the film never got off the ground. Nothing ever happened. So the song itself got put away with everything else that was happening. It ended up being in the files for Paramount for years until it was eventually rediscovered about 2 years later, and there was a film called Here Comes the Groom, and they dropped the song into that, and for that, it won the Academy Award for Best Original Song. So same basic story that we just told you for the previous track. In this case, though, I've got a version by Dean Martin, his performance of In the Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening.
Sue wants a barbecue, Sam wants to boil ham, Grace votes for bouillabaisse stew. Jake wants a weenie baked steak and a layer cake, he'll get a tummy ache too. We'll rent a tent or a teepee, let the town crier cry. And if it's RSVP, this is what I'll reply. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell 'em I'll be there. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, you better save a chair. When the party's getting the glow on, singing fills the air. In the shank of the night, when the doings are right, you can tell 'em I'll be there. Said the bumblebee, let's have a jubilee. When said the prairie hen, soon. Sure said the dinosaur, where said the grizzly bear, under the light of the moon. How about you, brother jackass? Everyone gaily cried. You coming to the fracas? Over his specs he sighed. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell 'em I'll be there. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, slick 'em on my hair. When the party's getting the glow on, singing fills the air. If I ain't in the clink and there's something to drink, you can tell 'em I'll be there. If I can find the right sock by 11 o'clock, you can tell 'em I'll be there. If you need a new face or a tenor or bass, you can tell 'em I'll be there. If I can climb out of bed, put a hat on my head, you can tell 'em I'll be there.
As far as I'm concerned, when you hear the names Hoagy Carmichael and Johnny Mercer, you know you're going to have a good song.
That was cute.
And that's really, I mean, it is a part of the Great American Songbook, but it's something you don't hear very often. So I find it very enjoyable to hear that melody with those really fun lyrics by Johnny Mercer in the cool, cool, cool of the evening. Well, at this point in time, as we pointed out last week, Rodgers and Hammerstein were writing extraordinarily popular Broadway musicals, but they weren't the only people who were doing it. For example, Alan Lerner and Frederick Lowe had more than their share of remarkable Broadway shows that would also become amazingly popular films. And at the start of the 1950s, the Broadway show that they were responsible for writing the music for was called Paint Your Wagon. And I have a rather interesting recording of Tommy Smothers attempting to tell a story about this song and having a hard time doing it because he's constantly interrupted by his brother. It's the Smothers Brothers version of I Talk to the Trees.
I'd like to sing for you a very beautiful song from the Broadway show Paint Your Wagon. The song is entitled I Talk to the Trees. What are you doing? I'm supposed to be singing my song. Did I butt in on your solo? I let you play that thing, whatever it was. I didn't bug you, did I?
Boss.
I'm trying to sing a song, and I'd appreciate it if you cooperate. Will you please play the guitar?
I'm not what you spake.
What's the matter with you, anyway?
I want to know what is a song.
The song is a love song, Tommy. This young man is in love with a young lady. He's afraid to tell her how he feels about her. How his emotions are so strong and he's so shy. And he goes out in the country and he talks to the trees and to the stars and to the breeze and he tells them how he feels.
Sounds like some kind of nut.
It's
go around talking to the trees.
Hi there, tree. I know this girl and I like her. So I tell you about a tree. Been talking to the stars, too.
Guy like that would talk to a fire hydrant.
Hi there, fire hydrant. Just been talking to the tree. Have a lot in common, don't you?
Boy, you sure sing about dingy people. Hi there, stage. Hi, stage. Used to be a tree, didn't you? Remember when I used to talk?
All right, shut up. Just keep your mouth shut for a minute, will you, please? You've got no feeling whatsoever. You have no depth, no nothing. You're just a shallow, callow person with no perception of anything beautiful and wonderful. You are nothing. You're no more than a stupid idiot. That's all you are. And if you don't like my songs, then I just won't sing them. You just do what you want to do.
Curb your tongue, Nave.
If you have no feeling towards things like that, Tommy, then go ahead and do your stuff. See what I do to you. I could tell a lot of secrets about you.
I didn't...
I know a lot of things that happened. You know, being brothers, I know what you did when you were growing up. You were a young boy.
Boys did it. Didn't stunt my growth either.
Curb your tongue, Nave. But there's the Smothers Brothers giving us at least a little bit of a taste of I Talk to the Trees from Paint Your Wagon. It was a popular show. There was one other song that was probably the most popular song in the show, written by Lerner and Lowe. And this was sort of a bit of a cowboy song, I guess. It's the story was basically about a gold rush situation and people gathering around and a town full of men and no women around. And this is the song that was more or less meant to capture that loneliness. It's called They Call the Wind Mariah. And pretty cool version here as performed by Sam Cooke.
Away out west, they got a name for rain and wind and fire. The rain is Tess, the fire's Joe, and they call the wind Mariah. Oh, now Mariah blows the stars around and sends the clouds a-flying. Mariah makes the mountain sound like folks were up there dying. Mariah, they call the wind Mariah. Now before I knew Mariah's name and heard her wail and whining, I had a girl and she had me and the sun was always shining. Oh, but then one day I left my girl, I left her far behind me, and now I'm lost, I'm oh so lost, not even God can find me. They got a name for rain, for wind and fire only. But when you're lost and all alone, there ain't no word but lonely. Oh yeah, and I'm a lost and lonely man without a star to guide me. Mariah, blow my love to me, I need my girl beside me.
Often think about how things could have changed if Sam Cooke had lived longer. He had so much talent and he was capable of doing so much. I really think that he would have been a remarkably interesting to see what he did as rock and roll began to develop. But we just have...
We lost a great talent.
Yeah, we do. It's about maybe 5 or 6 years. Well, if you count the gospel years, and you definitely should count the gospel years with the Soul Stars and stuff, because that stuff is amazing as well. Well, this next song was written by Irving Gordon, not for a Broadway show. It was just written as a pop song. He wrote it. He called it Undeniable. That was the title. And when he brought it to the publisher, they said, change the title. And they said, not Undeniable. Call it Unforgettable.
And, good choice.
Right? I mean... So this is an interesting case of Irving Gordon now being among the very, very small amount of songwriters in the Great American Songbook who wrote a song as a solo. It's not two men, one writing the music or the other one writing the words, as has been 97% of the stuff that we've played in this series. No joke. It's about true. But this song then, of course, was eventually performed by Nat King Cole. It was his breakout piece as a solo vocalist, changed his career entirely, made him a superstar. And I don't think there's another version that compares to it. So if we're going to play Unforgettable, we have to play the version by Nat King Cole.
That's what you are. Unforgettable, though near or far. Like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too. That someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Another person that needs to be addressed in the How Music Changed series in so many different ways. I mean, he's done so much. As a piano player with the Nat King Cole Trio. But at this point in time, this is when his career began to change and he became the crooner, but one of the most smooth ever, really. Just a remarkable talent. And if you ever wondered, like, well, what point in time did Nat King Cole become a total superstar, it's to the degree that he's known? Well, it's right around this point in time, in the early 50s, with that song, Unforgettable. And with this next song as well, written by Victor Young and Edward Heyman. They wrote a song, When I Fall in Love, for a film called 1 Minute to Zero. The original hit recording was by Doris Day, and it has been recorded by a number of other people. And again, though, once you hear Nat King Cole's version, it's really, you can't unhear it.
His delivery is undeniable.
Right. Or
unforgettable.
Unforgettable. Exactly. Now, the thing is, both...
That was not planned, by the way.
Both the song Unforgettable, which we just played, and this song, which is called When I Fall in Love, were huge hits for Nat King Cole. And both of them were later... I would use the word purloined by his daughter, Natalie Cole, for her to take her father's original recordings. And then through the miracle of electronics, be able to sing both of these songs
duet with him.
As duets. And they were very, very popular when
she
did that.
I'd say that she has every right to do it, unlike people like Kenny G.
Right, exactly. I mean, at least she's claiming her own father's legacy, and for her to sing with her father does not at all seem inappropriate. It's been done by other people, like the person you just mentioned, I don't even want to repeat his name, who did the same thing with the Louis Armstrong song, which just is pretty despicable, I think, when you do it simply because you see cash. In this instance, it was very warm, but I don't want to play a vocal version anyway, because if you just let Nat King Cole sing, I would say maybe his most popular song, we can basically get to the point with what we are talking about with the Great American Songbook and how it basically all became, almost everything in this songbook became jazz standards. And that is why I have this version by the Miles Davis Quintet from the mid-50s, from an album. From an album called Steamin', their version of When I Fall in Love. Thank you. classic, Miles Davis. You know, he recorded about 5 albums worth of music with that group, all because of basically fulfilling a contract, because he had been signed to Columbia. And they just sat on the albums and released them while he was getting popular on Columbia, becoming a superstar, really. It was doubled because his previous label was able to release all of this fabulous material that he had recorded in such a short amount of time.
Wow.
Something else. We've got time for one more. And this is like just basically, it plays on exactly what the Great American Songbook is about. If somebody had told a Bob Dylan fan that one day Bob Dylan would be performing Great American Songbook songs, they would have they would have laughed out loud. They would have, yeah. It would have been the most unlikely thing that you could have said to them. The folk artist, the rock artist, whatever you wanted to, however you want to look at him, you know, the poet, just didn't seem to make sense. Dylan himself had once said, you know, the Great American Songbook, I'm the guy that killed it. But he took this song that was recorded by Jimmy Van Heusen, Johnny Burke, for a Broadway musical called Carnival in Flanders that was made very popular by Frank Sinatra on his No One Cares album. I'll bet you that's how Dylan knew it. And then Dylan put out a triplicate, an album, a 3-CD set of him performing Great American Songbook stuff. Now, nobody's going to say that Dylan is not, you know, able to... He's not afraid to surprise his audience. He's done it his entire career.
Yes.
And this was just another one of those turns. And if you are, I mean, if you don't like Dylan's voice, you're going to have trouble with it. But if you love Dylan, well, it's really interesting. So I would basically, I opt for the latter because I am a Dylan completist. I love what pretty much everything the man has ever done. So here then to end the show, I will leave it to Bob Dylan to perform Here's That Rainy Day. Take care, folks. We'll see you next week.
Maybe I should have saved those leftover dreams. Funny. But here's that rainy day. Here's that rainy day they told me about. And I laughed at the thought that it might turn out this way. Where is that worn-out wish that I threw aside after it brought my love so? Funny how love becomes a cold rainy day. Funny that rainy day is here. It's funny how love becomes a cold rainy day. that rain.